what went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
The catch and shoot three from Pat Connaughton, and he delivers the bomb from the right wing.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
This one's been up-tempo, this one's been feisty, and this one has had plenty of three-pointers. Russell fires up a three and hits from the right wing. I mean, it is just like layups right now. Season-high points, the Bucks have surrendered 138 points for the Timberwolves. They win it 138-119.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah!
Well, this game became the simple math problem of three being better than two, and that's what the Bucks ran into, especially in the third quarter, where it did seem like everything we preached at halftime and said, you got to see this. You got to see improvement here. You got to see better shot selection. You got to see better shot quality. You got to see more rebounding. You got to cool it on the turnovers. Bucks were able to do all of that. They were not able to prevent the Minnesota Timberwolves from getting those clean looks from the outside. And even some of the contested looks went down as the Timberwolves just became a problem in that quarter, hitting 9 of their 22 threes. Sixth time this season a Bucks opponent has hit 20 or more threes. It is tied with the Thunder and these Timberwolves for the most instances in the league. And it's interesting that the Timberwolves and Thunder are 0-12 combined in those games where they have given up 20 or more threes. The Bucks are now 3-3. They were 3-2 prior to today, but fall to the Timberwolves and bring an end to the road trip. So finish 2-2. That's the bad. The good is they're healthy. Pat Connaughton made his return today. Brooke Lopez and George Hill made their return on Monday. So now it's a matter of ironing out the kinks, improving that defense, staying healthy, and getting ready for the postseason. 855-616-1620 is the AccuNet Mortgage Talk and Text line to get in touch with us on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Evan and Max are hanging out with us today for the show. Bucks get two more days off. Maybe that's a bad thing, as it really does seem as though the Bucks have not been one of the better teams in the league on off days. When they get extended off time, I should say. When they play every other day or back-to-backs, they've been successful, and it's a matter of staying in that rhythm. You get extended time off, that's where we've seen these issues pop up for the Bucks. We'll dive into those numbers, but really, as I mentioned on the postgame show, as Dave Kane mentioned during the game broadcast, let's not dwell on the negative. It's a disappointing loss, but I think a lot of us were prepared for this when you saw Giannis not playing in this game. It was a very, very strange game. Not only the tip time being 4 p.m., it's one of four games on the schedule on a Saturday in the NBA. And yes, I know there's an NCAA tournament going on, but you see four games on an NBA schedule. You tip off at 4 p.m., you learn shortly before tip time, yeah, by the way, Giannis isn't going to play in this game. And then 10 minutes into the game, you see Patrick Beverley and George Hill ejected from the game. Serge Ibaka and Bobby Portis, well, that came later, but Serge Ibaka assessed a technical. Bobby Portis assessed another technical. It's his ninth of the season. He's done a much better job there, because I do remember about 2 months ago, Mike Budenholzer getting asked about technicals from Bobby Portis. And yeah, we've told him he's got to cool in on it. Once you get to 16, that's when you face a suspension. So it's still quite a ways to go there for Bobby Portis. But this just had the feels of a very, very weird game from the start. And that certainly feels like what we saw. Again, it wasn't entirely self-inflicted by the Bucks. Give credit to the Timberwolves. And they, as we mentioned, have been one of the best teams in the league since January 1st. But this started to feel pretty wonky early, and it certainly concluded that way as this road trip comes to an end in one of those weird games. So the Bucks go 2-2 in that four-game stretch and now return home for two very, very winnable games, and one of them a big one against the Chicago Bulls Tuesday night. 855-616-1620 is the AccuNet Mortgage talk and text line. Your takeaways from this game, and more importantly, we saw one common thread here that has been there all season long. We've had the conversation over overall performance. And when is it time to worry? Not panic. We never use that word on this program. But when is it time to worry or raise an eyebrow and be concerned about the Bucks overall? And I was pretty adamant from the start. I'm not worried until this continues in the postseason. This being the inconsistent play and the lack of rebounding, the defense, especially when you get to a series where the Bucks are trailing. Then I'm worried. It's time to have the conversation of when do you start, if you haven't already, to be worried about the third quarter for this team? Because we've gone through the numbers before. Where the Bucks rank in the league versus other teams, those teams, the rest of them in the bottom 10, where they are in the standings, it's nowhere near second or third best in their conference. You are not in a select group of teams where the Bucks currently sit. So is this the red herring for the Bucks? Or is this something to have major concerns over? 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. What we mean by those third quarter issues. I'll give you some numbers after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
To that same old place that you left.
Well, here comes Holiday the other way, zips the pass out top to Connaughton, and Connaughton steps into the three and knocks down his first three ball since coming back from the injury that kept him out over the last 13 games with that broken finger.
Well, we had questions over whether or not Pat Connaughton would lose that shooting stroke. And if one game is any indication of it, he has not. Five made threes today, certainly above expectations for Pat Connaughton. Again, it wasn't all bad in a 19-point loss. That was one of the good, one of the small bits of good for the Bucks, is the return of Pat Connaughton and just what he does for this team, what he brings to this team. Made reference to some of these numbers on the pregame show, but it is worth pointing out. Prior to today, Bucks were 34-20 in games that Pat Connaughton plays in. Not quite to the Giannis, the Chris, the Drew levels, but it's pretty good that you win 34 out of 54 games when he's on the floor. But the lineups with Pat Connaughton on the floor, where the most success has come, and really when you look at reference to the game and in relation to where it's occurring, it's pretty clear these are those clutch situations and closing moments of games. But the most successful grouping of players the Bucks have had all season long is when Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Pat Connaughton, and Giannis are on the floor with pick your fifth. Doesn't matter who. It's like rec league. Us three, and you can pick our teammate. We don't care who it is. We're good enough to beat you. That's what the Bucks have been doing with that four on the floor. Bobby Portis, Grayson Allen, George Hill had been the most commonly utilized as the fifth man in that group. We had never seen, and we still haven't, Brooke Lopez as the fifth in that group. But that's where the Bucks have been their most successful, because you have a lot of switchability. You have a lot of shooting in those instances, and you have a lot of versatility offensively and defensively. So you get that back. We have the conversation over if you don't get why Brooke Lopez is so important and so valuable to this team. The last 3 months, if you still don't understand, I don't know what to do here. I can't help you. Pat Connaughton should be in that same sentence. And what he has done to transform his game, we're not trying to turn this into, or should say, I'm not trying to turn this into the Pat Connaughton Appreciation Hour, but it really is amazing when you look at the player that Pat Connaughton has become versus the guy that landed in Milwaukee that a lot of Bucks fans probably didn't know a whole lot about. Maybe you remembered him when he came to town with the Portland Trail Blazers. Maybe you remember him from college with Notre Dame, but you probably didn't know a whole lot about Pat Connaughton prior to his arrival. His first year, he was a much different player than he is now. He was the energy guy off the bench. His second year, still the energy guy and the defensive guy, started to take more shots where he was slashing to the rim. Third year is when he became a bona fide shooter, and now this year, he has taken it to another level. He has already made more threes this year in fewer games than he did last year. 133 pointers made this season in 55 games played. Last year in 69, he made 101 threes. He's become a 41% three-point shooter. And tonight he was basically there again. Today he was basically there again. 5 of 11 on three. So it's very similar to Brook Lopez, where watch the game. Here's the numbers. Here's how the Bucks look when Pat Connaughton is on the floor. We've done that repeatedly with Brook Lopez because he, even more so than Pat, is a guy where stats don't tell the story of his value and importance. But here's the numbers. Here's how good they are when he plays. Here's some of the issues, and here's the areas they struggle in when he's not there. If you don't see it with this as context and watching the game, then I don't know what to tell you. But it's exciting to get him back, to get this team healthy, and to get to the point that, frankly, we've all waited for. We knew it was going to be a long season. You knew. Shortest offseason in franchise history. Shortest offseason of any team. You had two of your, oh, by the way, really important guys spend half of their offseason in Tokyo in the Olympics. And look, whether or not you want to admit it, when you win the championship, things change. And this isn't a knock on the Bucks or any team that's gotten to that level. It's human nature. When you get that championship, the desire, the burning to, we got to prove something, we got to get there, it goes down a little bit until you get to that spot again. So it's just tough for any team to approach the regular season the same way. And we already saw that a little bit last year. So I think we knew the best way to describe this regular season coming into play would probably be chore. It was going to be a chore for a lot of the guys, for the coaching staff, to try and figure out who's going to be available. Oh, by the way, we're still in a pandemic, and this thing called COVID was still lingering over this season and really wreaked havoc in December and January. But now you finally made it. This is the light at the end of the tunnel where now you know the playoffs are in front of us. This team is healthy. Pat Connaughton is back. You've added some pieces like Serge Ibaka, DeAndre Bembry, who you lost, but Javon Carter. You've added some more guys to this group, but I remember what these guys did last year. And Giannis, and Chris, and Drew, and Pat, and Brooke, and Bobby. And now you feel like, okay, we're starting to get there. But the question of the day is all of that, the good, the light that's at the end of the tunnel, going off of memory and what you saw last year and seeing some of those signs along the way. How this team has played since February 1st. I mean, I have talked a lot about March. Hey, they're pretty good in March. I think they're going to win 10 games in March. They're still on track for that. But really, since February 1, they've been a much better team in basically every area but defense. And we said, that defensive number, it's probably not going to improve until Brook Lopez is back. His third game back. It did not improve today. But let's see sustained Brook on the floor and see that defense trend upward. I mean, you're not going to finish in the top five. Can you get to the top 10? Can you finish in the top 10? Because it's not a lot that's separating where the Bucks currently are, around 15th in defensive rating through 7th or 8th. They're separated by a point of defensive efficiency. So can you get to the top 10? I think that's what we're asking for. And try to round some of those edges and get into playoff form moving into April here. So this stretch, these two games, you should win both of these games against the Bulls and against the Wizards. You should win both of those games. The Bulls are not a very good team. They are starting to fade. Everything that a lot of people pointed to early in the season, and I understand they've dealt with injuries. The Bucks have dealt with injuries. The Nets have dealt with issues there. The Heat have dealt with injuries. The Hawks have dealt with injuries. The Cavs are currently dealing with injuries. Every team deals with injuries during the course of an NBA season. Every team deals with injuries and even more, especially this season. So it's been a nice story. But I think a lot of people that pointed to, I don't know if this can last, and I don't trust this in the playoffs. You're starting to see some of those cracks now with the Bulls. So you should win that game on Tuesday. You have to win that game on Thursday against the Washington Wizards. That is a team playing for absolutely nothing. They're still technically alive in the postseason. They're not making the playoffs. We know who the 10 teams are. The only question in the East right now is, who are the four teams in the play-in tournament? And it's four from a list of six. I mean, we know who three will be. We know the Hornets, Hawks, and Nets are going to be in the play-in tournament. Knicks and the Wizards aren't catching on any of those teams. Five games back, 5.5 games back, the Knicks and the Wizards, respectively. They have 12 and 13 games. Do the math in your head of what it's going to take to make up five games in 12. Like, you got to go basically 11-1 in those 12 games and then hope the Hornets or the Hawks go 500, worse than 500, basically. That's what's going to be needed to be done for two very bad teams, the Knicks and the Wizards. So it's not happening. We know who the 10 are. We know the Nets, the Hawks, and the Hornets are all going to be in the play-in tournament. The Nets, for the same reason we just said, why the Knicks and the Wizards can't get into the play-in tournament. The Nets can't get out of it for the same reason. They're four back in the loss column from the Cavs. They have 11 games left. Again, you got to go 10-1. The Nets can certainly do that. But the Cavs, the Bulls, will they continue to play 500? Maybe, but math is not on the Nets side, is all we're going to say there. So the question becomes, who finishes seventh? Raptors have been playing a lot better. They don't have a terribly difficult schedule remaining. The Bulls do have a very, very difficult schedule left. They're 2-8 in their last 10. If they lose to the Bucks, that's 41-30. And then it starts to become a question of, wait a minute, can the Bulls slip all the way into the play-in tournament? And if you're the Bucks, my stance has not changed. The Heat are going to finish with the best record in the Eastern Conference. By way of strength of schedule, the Heat have one of the easier ones in the East in terms of what's left in front of you. The most difficult remaining schedules now. The Bucks have the third toughest schedule left, a 543 opponent win percentage. Only the two Los Angeles teams have a more difficult road in front of them. The Lakers have the toughest schedule left. The Clippers have the second most difficult. The Bucks and the Timberwolves, the two teams that played today, are third and fourth. Celtics and Bulls are up there as well. So Boston's been a great story, and Boston has been getting it done everywhere. Their offense has been good. Jason Tatum has come up big. Moved way past Jaylen Brown. I was guilty of I think Jaylen Brown's a little better than Jason Tatum. Anybody that thought that has been proven wrong this season. Jason Tatum's been really good. The defense has been really, really good for Boston. And if you were high on the Celtics coming into this season, you pointed to the defense and said, everything we just talked about with the Bucks, with that Pat Connaughton group, and said, hey, they can switch, they can play versatile, they can go extra big, they can go small, they can do a lot of different things. That is the Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. You add Derek White into the mix. Both the Williams brothers in the front court, they have a lot of switchability and a lot of versatility defensively. That's what's been carrying them recently. But they have a really difficult schedule left. And so do the Bulls. At one point, the Bulls had the most difficult schedule. They got the Heat, the Bucks, the Celtics, the Timberwolves, the Cavs, the Raptors. That Raptors game that the Bulls have may be one of the more important games left on the NBA schedule because it could possibly determine who's going to be seventh and who's going to be sixth. And that game, by the way, is Monday. Bulls host the Raptors, then they have the Bucks. That is an incredibly difficult stretch. They have lost three straight games at the Kings, at the Jazz, at the Suns. Then you come home for the Raptors. Then you go to Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. Then you got another big one against the Cavs, another team. Don't rule out Cleveland moving past the Bulls. So I think what's known in the East is 8 through 10 are set. The Nets are going to finish 8th, which means they're going to go on the road in that play-in tournament, which means Kyrie Irving can play in that game. The Hawks and the Hornets, it doesn't matter what order they finish in. That's who's going to play each other to see who's alive for the 8th seed. The fact that the Nets are going to be on the road, the Nets are going to be the 7th seed. They're going to win the play-in tournament. If it's the Bulls, if it's the Cavs, if it's the Raptors, the Nets with Kyrie and Kevin Durant are beating any of those teams. The Heat are going to finish with the best record in the East. 2 through 7 is what's unknown in the East. I still think the Bucks are going to finish 2 because I don't think Philadelphia wants any part of the 2 seed. They saw what happened when they had to face the Brooklyn Nets and were embarrassed by the Brooklyn Nets. They rested guys against the Miami Heat. Philadelphia is already preparing to duck. And that game that the Bucks have next week in Philly on the 29th, that's going to tell me a lot because I am inclined to believe they're not going all out to win that game. Whoever wins that game, there's a chance that game may lock up the 2 seed. I don't think Philadelphia is going to try to win that game. I think the Bucks are going to finish 2nd, and then 3 through 7 essentially is what becomes the mystery. But right now, 2 through 6 is what's open in the East, and that's what makes the close to this season wildly entertaining. 855-616-1620 is the Accurate Mortgage Talk and Text line. I'll share those numbers on the third quarter, and is this the red herring, or is this ultimately the Bucks undoing? We've seen it now. It's not a stretch. It's an entire season that we've seen this troubling stat in play. I'll tell you the number after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Left to right in a turnover right out of the chutes is Russell. Passes and it's taken away by Holiday. He feeds ahead to Lopez, who guides it in off the window. And after the Bucks did not score any points off turnovers in the first half, they score 2 on the first minute of this game.
Now, welcome back, Brook Lopez, who made his return earlier this week. His third game back with his fourth game this season. But you saw in the third quarter a lot of those stretches where Brook Lopez could just take over. 11 straight points that he scored. He was a bright spot. Pat Connaughton to hit 5 threes and score 15 points in his return was a bright spot. And Wesley Matthews, who we haven't touched on that yet. Wesley Matthews and his shooting from the outside. 7 of 11 on threes in the last 3 games now for Wesley Matthews. He's been a bright spot for the Bucks recently and today especially. So it wasn't all negative for this team that is now healthy. DeAndre Bembry, the only guy there on the injury report, assuming Giannis will be back on Tuesday against the Chicago Bulls. So despite this loss, things are starting to trend upward for this Bucks team for the most part. Now, where things are not trending in the right direction is in the third quarter. And once again today, outscored by 12 points. You can handle losing a quarter where you're outscored by 4 or 5. I mean, that was the case in each of the first 2 quarters. Bucks outscored by 6. Exact same score in each of the first 2 quarters, 34-28 in favor of the Timberwolves. For as much as an issue as it's been, it's one of those things that if you're in the crowd that said, I don't know about this. I mean, look, I've certainly made the case of I kind of feel like when we look at statistics, there's a statistic for everything. And I know I utilize them a lot, but you can find a stat to tell every story, and you can find a stat to back up any point you want to make. It's deciphering which are the ones that are most important and most meaningful. What do I got to pay the most attention to? And for the longest time, I said, it's not great, but I don't know that we need to make all this fuss over the third quarter issues here. Certainly would like the Bucks to improve quite a bit in that category and in their overall quarter performance. But to me, I don't know, isn't it more important to digest second half? If that's what you're focused on, what happens to those leads? Well, let's look at the second half overall. Let's look at the fourth quarter. Let's look in those clutch situations. And in all those areas, we've seen a lot of improvement throughout the year. The one area where we have not seen that whether healthy or injured. Rebounding has improved. Defense was kind of like today's game. You would make some improvements, then you take a step back, then you make some improvements, and onward. But all of those areas, they seem to improve. Bench scoring, by the way, they almost matched the starters today. Remember when it was routine for the Bucks bench to score 14 points? I remember even digging through to see, speaking of statistics, will tell any story, to see, okay, I wonder how many times have the Bucks had games this season where they have hit, the number of three-pointers they have hit has been higher than the amount of points that their bench has scored. In other words, they hit 15 threes, the bench scores 14 points. It's only happened once. It feels like it's been every other game, right? But those are all things. You can, all right, let's see, let's find something here. This third quarter issue, it is not a two-week stretch. It's not since March. It's not since January. This has been the entire season. This has been an issue. I'm still not convinced this is, whoa, this is flashing red light warning sign, light going off on the dashboard. You need to find your dealer and get this fixed. I'm still not convinced it's there, but it's not great. And it certainly gives you pause and makes you think, okay, what is going on here? Because this includes today's game where the Bucks were outscored by 12 against the Timberwolves. And you watched that second quarter and thinking, here's where the Bucks are going to turn things around. And then stop and score, none of it. Score, 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 score. Two teams were trading baskets, and before you know it, it's a 12-point lead. Then in that third quarter, Brook Lopez opens up a house of fire, and you think, here it is. And then it just became three after three after three after three, and the Timberwolves double up their lead, including today's game. The Bucks have a defensive rating in the third quarter of 118.5. That is the worst defensive rating in the NBA this season in the third quarter. They have an offensive rating of 111.5. Not much better. That is 16th in the league. They have a net rating in the third quarter of a negative 7. The only teams, that is 24th in the league, by the way, the only teams that have fared worse in the third quarter are the 25 and 47 Sacramento Kings, the 18 and 53 and eliminated from the playoffs Orlando Magic, the 26 and 43 and basically eliminated from the playoffs Portland Trailblazers, the 24 and 47 and eliminated from the playoffs Indiana Pacers, the 19 and 51, and also eliminated from the playoffs, Detroit Pistons, and the 17 and 53, and eliminated from the playoffs, Houston Rockets. You will not find a good team anywhere near the Bucks in their third quarter woes. The Bulls are 22nd, but even there, their net rating in that quarter is negative 3.1. Not even half as bad as the Bucks, who are a negative 7. Let's take it a step further, shall we? So you got the Bucks at 24. The Thunder are 23. Not good. The Bulls, we just told you, they're falling back to earth. They're not great. Then you have the Knicks, the Lakers, the Spurs, the Wizards. You got to go down to 17 to find the Brooklyn Nets, who we think are a good team. Not great, but good. That's the first team you would put in that category somewhat of the Bucks. Every good team, for the most part, it is in the top 10 to 12. All the teams we consider to be good. Warriors and the Celtics are the two best teams in the third quarter. Suns and the Heat are 3 and 4. Sixers are 5th. The Hornets, the Jazz, the Timberwolves, the Cavs, the Raptors. All good teams. Those are who are up near the top. And then you have the Bucks all the way down there, 24th. I'm still not convinced it's the undoing of the team this season, but it's not encouraging. So you want to see the defensive rating start to trend upward here for this team. You have to see it, for that matter. After this game today, the Bucks currently are 15th in defensive rating at 110.4. Now, again, The Grizzlies are 7th. They're at 109. So 7 through where the Bucks are at 15 is separated by 1.4 points. You can't do that in a game or two unless you hold the opponent to 40 points, but you can crack the top 10 where Philadelphia currently resides 7/10 of a point in front of the Bucks at 109.7. You can crack the top 10. That's the goal for the remainder of the season, get into the top 10 of the defensive rating, but that third quarter number, it is a disaster, and based on those numbers, they're not cracking the top 20. So how much is too much to take from that? 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Buckle up for another ride. The MVP is BACK. Keep it right here on 94.5 ESPN for all the latest on the MVP's return. And wherever you get your podcasts by subscribing to the Pack Attack Podcast.
Dribbles with the left hand around the town screen. He's at the top of the arc, lets it fly. Another three-pointer for Anthony Edwards, who is cooking now in this one. He's got 20 points, 4 of 7 from downtown, and the Bucks can't get a stop all of a sudden. 79-62.
That was one of 22 threes made by the Timberwolves today. And again, the sixth time this season, the Bucks have allowed 20 or more threes to an opponent. They have won the most games in the NBA by any team in games where they've allowed 20 or more threes to the opponent. They are somehow 3-3 in those games, which speaks to how good the offense has been this season. And to put that in context, here's a handful of teams in the neighborhood the Bucks are with opponent shooting nights like that. They've done it 6 times. Today's opponent, the Timberwolves, and the Oklahoma City Thunder are the only two teams in the NBA this season that have given up 20 or more threes to an opponent 6 times this season. They are both 0-6 in those games. The Kings have done it 5 times. They're 0-5 in those games. The Pelicans have done it 4 times. They're 0-4 in those games. So 0-21. With those 4 teams at a volume right around where the Bucks are, and then you have the Bucks at 3-3. So teams that have given up the most threes, the most times an opopponent has hit 20 or more threes, those 4 teams have done it the most. They're 3-24, and the Bucks are 3-3 in those games. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line, but the story is simple. 3-pointers by the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's not to take the Bucks off the hook. Turnovers again. Timberwolves hit a lot of threes, but we go through all the numbers on the network version of the postgame show and say, okay, here's what the Bucks did well. Here's what the opponents did well. And it's up to you to figure out where was this game won or lost. Sometimes it's right down the middle and you think it was a game-winning shot. Or I can't really tell. I got to really dig for this. This was actually one of those games. It was a blowout, and you look at the numbers and you say, how did the Timberwolves win by this much? They hit 22 threes, sure. They shot 47%. The Bucks shot 37%, and they hit 19 threes. Bucks out-rebounded them. They had 14 offensive rebounds that they turned into 24 second-chance points. Points in the paint, pretty even, 46-44. Free throws were advantage Timberwolves as well, but three-pointers weren't that far off. Field goal shooting, not that far off. Field goal attempts, not that far off. Bucks got 5 more because of those 14 offensive rebounds. Points in the paint, 2-point shots. All of it was fairly even here. And then you stumble upon the turnovers. 14 Bucks turnovers that the Timberwolves turned into 21 points. The Bucks did generate 11 turnovers. They scored on just 2 of them, 4 points. So circle that and that. Those two things tell the story of the game. Timberwolves' third quarter three-point shooting. There's that number again. And plus 17 in turnovers. Plus 17 in points scored off of turnovers in a game decided by 19 points. That's your story. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. We'll wrap things up after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
They're back. Brewers baseball is right around the corner.
Get up! Get out of here! Go!
Talk Brewers with us on 94.5 ESPN and subscribe to the Crew Talk podcast from Wisconsin On Demand.
Going the other way now. It's Carter's into the front court. He spins into a crowd, passes out. Connaughton catch and shoot, has time to size it up and stick what will be his fifth three-pointer of this game.
Yeah, so that was one of the silver linings was play of Pat Connaughton. 15 points off the bench in his return. And a 5 made 3. So the positives, as we wrap the show up, the positives. Pat Connaughton scores 15. The question's over, well, is he going to lose any of the shooting form? Is he going to be rusty? If one game is any indication, the answer is no. He hits 5 threes. Brook Lopez, third game back, fourth game this season. Looked pretty good. Gave you double digits in the third quarter alone and finished with 15 points. So that's a positive. But maybe of all of them, as crazy as that is to say, maybe of all of the let's find a silver lining, this is a positive. It might be the offense of Wesley Matthews, the shooting of Wesley Matthews, because he had been mired in a slump for honestly what felt like 3 months, 2 months, ever since when he first arrived in Milwaukee. Again, he was great, and you saw both ends of the floor. He was hitting shots, the defensive versatility he gave you, and then it just kind of vanished, and it had been gone ever since that stretch. This is three straight games where he's hit multiple threes, and in those three games, he's 7 of 11. So first time since January 10th that Wesley Matthews hit three threes in a game. Do you need him to hit three threes in a playoff game? Probably not. But you just need that threat. And for the last, you know, really 2 months, that threat was gone. So if it's back, that could be huge in terms of spacing. And as we talked about, the depth that this team has, they are a deeper team heading into the playoffs this year. Assuming they can stay healthy, they are a deeper team than they were last season. If Wesley Matthews finds that shooting stroke, if Pat Connaughton is fully back, if Brook Lopez is fully back, George Hill, who we only saw for 4 minutes, if he's fully back, they're in a much better spot. As crazy as it is to say, with the inconsistencies, the third quarter issues, the defensive issues, they're still in a better spot than they were a season ago. My thanks to Evan and Max for producing the show today, hanging out with us for the last hour, and all of you for listening for the last hour as well. Tuesday night is when we return to the airwaves, the Bucks and the Chicago Bulls from Fiserv Forum. 7 o'clock tip. We expect to hit the airwaves around 10 with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.